Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. When you think about 4-H, what comes to mind? It's most likely a picture of young people leading around healthy groomed livestock at the county or tribal fair. In rural Native America, 4-H is also an incubator for future ranchers and farmers. But it's also a place where youth learn about responsibility, professionalism, STEM subjects, and more through a host of activities. Join us as we talk about 4-H in Native America right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The first payments for eligible families are set to begin this week from the new expanded child tax credit, which was included in the American Rescue Plan signed into law in March. The child tax credit was increased from $2,000 to $3,000 per child for children over the age of six, and from $2,000 to $3,600 for children under the age of six. White House Economic Advisor Gene Sperling spoke about the child tax credit at the National Congress of American Indians virtual mid-year conference last month.
There has never been this much support for families through the tax code. There has never been this large and robust of a child tax credit. We also included 17-year-olds for the first time. So 17-year-olds are included. This is the first time we're recognizing that the U.S. government is recognizing that children under 6 years old cost more for any of us, all of us who have to care for children. And so that's why there is the extra amount.
Sperling says the Biden administration wants to provide immediate relief to families to help recover from impacts of COVID-19.
The president wanted the American Rescue Plan to be about helping on the way now when families and communities are still recovering from the economic and health impacts of COVID. So half of this comes this year, and it comes in a monthly basis.
Starting on July 15th and through the rest of the calendar year, payments will be monthly. Families will receive the full child tax credit if they make up to $150,000 a couple or $112,500 for a family with a single parent. The Navajo Nation is preparing for its second phase of hardship payments for tribal citizens to help recover from impacts of the pandemic. The tribe's CARES Act hardship program will allow remaining applicants on a waiting list to receive funding and reopen the application process for enrolled members who did not apply for relief last year. Navajo Nation Acting Controller Elizabeth Begay talked about the next phase and application process during a virtual town hall Monday.
You will not be eligible to receive the Hardship 2 assistance if you were already assisted from the Hardship 1 from last year.
More than 300,000 enrolled members received financial relief from the hardship program during the first phase. Payments were $1,350 for adults and $450 for minors. The application process will begin August 1st and be open for 60 days. The Washington football team is moving forward with its new brand identity, which will have no ties to Native American imagery. The team's president, Jason Wright, addressed rebranding in a brief posted Monday online. Wright says they've been engaging with the Native American community and hearing stories affirm the decision to move in a new direction in the creation of a new name and identity. This week marks the one-year anniversary when the team announced the retirement of the R-word name and logo. The move to change the name followed pressure from funders and renewed calls to drop Indian mascots as racial justice rallies were being held across the country. Native advocates are continuing to call for Indian mascots and logos in professional sports and in schools to be dropped. The National Congress of American Indians recently launched a national tracking database with Native-themed school mascots in use by K-12 public schools across the country, urging for their retirement. According to NCAI, last year sparked a wave of momentum with 70 schools voting to retire or alter their Native-themed mascot, and more than 30 schools followed suit in 2021 so far. Additionally, a number of states have banned Native-themed or race-based mascots in schools. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
COVID-19 vaccinations, now available for everyone 12 and up, are highly protective against the new Delta variant and can protect your children and family from COVID-19. This reminder provided by the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health, which supports this show.
This reminder to get your COVID-19 vaccination is provided by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who support this show. Info at aaip.org or cdc.gov/coronavirus.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you live from my homelands, Osherwood Dui. Raising a calf, a lamb, or any kind of livestock is a lot of hard work. For Native youth who are a part of their local 4-H program, it's not just about feeding and watering livestock for a show at the local fair. It's about learning the basics of ranching and the value of life in agriculture. For more than a century, 4-H programs have worked to instill the importance of agriculture in young people. At first, the programs attempted to bring outside practices to Native communities, but they evolved to incorporate Native farming and ranching methods to both educate young people and keep Native knowledge thriving. And it's not just about agriculture. Youth within the program have a wide range of activities they can get involved in, including robotics, sewing, and cooking. And in Native America, culture plays a big part. In this hour, we'll talk about 4-H and how it works in Native communities, and you can join the conversation, too. How does 4-H help with passing along interest in agriculture for all of the youth in your community? We want to hear from you, and if you are a part of the 4-H program now, definitely dial in, or maybe in the past, you know, what kind of things did it give you to carry on in your life? We want to hear from you today. Everybody's welcome. And if you have questions, you can call in, too. The number to join us is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And today we are going to start off in Window Rock, Arizona. With us on the line is Christy Kidlaschini, and she is an assistant in Extension at the University of Arizona Cooperative Extension. And she is Navajo. Our pleasure to have her here with us, Christy. Welcome to Native America Calling, and thanks for being with us.
Hi, yes, good morning. Thank you for having me here to talk a little bit about the Navajo Nation 4-H program. It's definitely an honor, and we will hope to recruit more 4-H members and, you know, keep agriculture and natural resources alive on Native country. So thank you for having us.
And Christy, that's exactly what it seems happens, is you tell a little bit about it, get youth involved, and introduce them into something new, or maybe get them closer to what their family has been doing for generations. And Christy, for you doing this kind of work, what do you feel you are introducing our youth to?
So as I am doing this work, I did not grow up in 4-H. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't really care to see it besides at the fair, having kids show their animals. But the more I got involved with the work, I see that these kids are learning not only how to take care of an animal, but a lot of valuable life lessons. Within a project, there are a lot of things that they need to do on their own that promotes a lot of personal growth. So like I said, 4-H you typically see at the fair, but we have developed skills backed by science that actually we use these curriculums that are developed to hone these skills, such as mastery, generosity, independence, and belonging. So these are the four skills that we focus on. And these kids can join different types of programs. We have animal science curriculum, communications, expressive arts, family consumer health sciences, leadership roles, agriculture, natural resources, like I stated, and science, engineering, and technology. So 4-H is a lot more than just showing your animal at fair. Whatever their interest or whatever their hobbies are, they can make it a 4-H project. For example, the animal projects, the youth not only learn about taking care of an animal, but they learn about finances. They got to know how much money they got to purchase their animal for, how much they have to save. They have to learn how much money they have to put away for feeding. Animals have to make a certain weight by fair time to be considered a market animal for food consumption. So they have to calculate how much feed they give their animal a day to make that weight, how much exercise daily they need to do to make the animal be the best it could be, to keep record keeping so that this animal is going, they know it's going to be processed for food consumption. So they need to know they need to keep good record keeping to know that they're putting their vaccinations and whatever they're giving this animal safely for the people to eat it at the end. So record keeping is very important. They got to learn about laws on, we deal with a lot of on tribal land and off tribal fairs. And so they have to learn about the laws and regulations of what rules they have to abide by to transport these animals to be responsible owners. So there's a lot that goes into every project, not just animals, but if a child's interested in sewing and they want to make a dress, well, they have to calculate how much the cost of material is, how much the sewing machine cost, how are they going to do this blueprint. So it's a lot of thinking that they do on their own, a lot of independence. But we have clubs and activities that these kids can go to, so all these like-minded kids can go and come together as a group and thrive off each other and really make this project what they want it to be in the end. So it's great overall.
It sounds like a lot of life skills are coming up with teaching this way. And Christy, for the youth that you've had a chance to work with, what do you think really opens up for them when they start seeing they can make these kind of decisions? They can reason their way through things. They can even figure out a budget. What do you see when they go through this process?
So in my area, particularly, the 4-H program has been going on for generations, which is great. You know, mom and dad do it, grandma and grandpa do it, grandkids do it. And so in our program here on Navajo, and I'm sure as in other programs, it's very generally generational. And so with what we're doing here, we're trying to recruit kids that have not had that experience before. You know, they're the first ones stepping out of their comfort zone and doing it. And so what we've come to realize is that kids don't know that they don't like something until they try it. We have a really good example. We did lamb showing, which is really big here on Navajo, as you can imagine. And our kids, they're like, we never showed a lamb before. We don't want to touch the lamb. They smell. We're going to smell all day and everything. But we had a one-day showmanship clinic, and we had older 4-H kids teach the new kids, this is how you do it. This is what you do. And by the end of that camp, you know, these kids didn't want to stop learning. And so, of course, they show some hesitancy in the beginning. Everybody's shy. But the more these kids realize that they all like the same interests, they all like the same hobbies, they, you know, they find their little group that they feel like they belong to, they open up a little more. And they really come into their own and they start showing independence. They get that sense of, well, no one's going to do it for me, so I got to do it myself. Of course, parents, family is always there to support, but in the show ring, your mom's not going to be there holding your hand, showing your animal for you. It's going to be you. So these kids really understand that independence of, I need to do it myself if I want to do this project. So a lot of the kids, they are new at it, but you can just see the wheels turning in their head like, okay, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm interested in. How can I do that? And luckily, we have a lot of good 4-H mentors in our program saying, well, this is how I do it. Maybe you should try it that way. Or if that doesn't fit you, we'll try a different way. And 4-H is a family on its own. Everybody's very welcoming. Everybody is always willing to lend a hand to someone who needs it. So that very inclusiveness is really the heart about the 4-H program and our volunteers. 4-H is completely run off of volunteers who just love to do these projects and love to help the kids. So that very welcoming feeling that people get from the program, I think, is what motivates them to want to take that risk and try this new project for the first time. But, you know, once they get their hands dirty and start wrestling, they'll you can't get them to stop.
Very nice. And so, Christy, how much of this is in line with Dene teaching and culture?
As you know, we are all trying to preserve our heritage and our traditions. And here on Navajo, we've done some workshops that did like traditional foods, traditional practices. Again, a lot of the families are generational, and so we try to keep that Diné philosophy within our teachings, getting up early, saying your blessings, praying for your animals, praying for your things that you have. A lot of these kids and these families practice those traditions, and, as they take care of their animals and, go through that whole process, they try to instill those into them. I wish we had a program that taught that. But we have been able to reach out to a lot of elders, to a lot of people in the community that teach our kids those philosophies. We had a 6-week horse show series that went on, and at one of the events, we had a presenter come in and say explain all the traditional horse stories to the kids and what the meanings are behind certain things that involve the horse and that horse philosophy. So when we can, we try to really incorporate our Diné teachings into the kids and to get them to pick it up and to learn the language and to just try to, in any way, preserve that heritage there. And we offer traditional projects so they can do like weaving, or if they want to make traditional foods like blue corn mush or cookies or anything like that, we include that as a project within our program. And every tribe is different. I'm sure that other programs add in their own traditional foods and cooking and, arts and crafts stuff. So we try to do that here on Navajo. And it gets judged there in the fair, and, they get a ribbon or they get to practice it and craft that skill all year long.
Well, there you have it. Another way to keep our culture strong through the 4-H Club. Is this something that your young person is involved in? You can give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. Maybe you are somebody who is also helping to mentor through the 4-H program. We sure hope you'll call in, and maybe there is something special and unique that happens in your local division that you'd like to share. Maybe that infusion of culture or teaching a skill that you know will help the community grow. You can share your thoughts with us. We look forward to all your calls. And if you have questions about the program, go ahead and give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. And hearing from Christy and the information that's being passed on to our younger generations, what are your thoughts that this kind of information is being given to our young people at the age they are? How far do you think it'll help them in the future? Give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is a number. We'll keep the phone lines open. And hang tight. There's more ahead. The only museum in the country dedicated to contemporary Native art is on an upswing. A major financial gift is opening up exciting new opportunities for the IAIA Museum of Contemporary Native American Arts in Santa Fe. We'll get an overview of the museum's focus and what's in store for the future on the next Native America Calling.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a no-charge, 24/7, confidential and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the Chat Now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This program is supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Mislata Pueblo. We are talking about 4-H today. And is this program keeping young people in your community interested in agriculture? What about ranching? Join our conversation by calling 1-800-996-2848 and share your thoughts with us. With us today out of Window Rock, Arizona, is Christy Kinlachini, and she is an assistant in Extension at the University of Arizona Cooperative Extension, and she is Navajo. Our pleasure to have her here with us today, Christy. Thank you for being with us. Also here, too, out of Gallup, New Mexico, is Dally Carlisle, and he is a 4-H member, and he is Navajo. Our pleasure to have him here with us. Dally, welcome to Native America Calling.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Dally Carlisle. Like you said, I am in Gallup, New Mexico, and I am 19 years old.
welcome to the program. And Dally, tell us about your involvement with 4-H. How long has it been, and what kind of roles have you played?
So I have been an active member within the 4-H program since early elementary school. Through the program, I have learned responsibility, discipline, leadership, and the desire to succeed. I have had the pleasure to serve as president, vice president, and secretary of my 4-H club. I have also held office in the McKinley and Cibola County Junior Livestock Committee. The 4-H pledge states, I pledge my head to clear thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my community, my club, my country, and my world. Carrying that pledge in my community and being an image bearer of that pledge is a goal I strive for within my community. I use my livestock projects as a tool to serve my community. As a wide variety of serving my community, I have given motivational speeches to local high school, middle school, and elementary school students to be passionate about their dreams and to chase them. My reservation was hit hardest from COVID last year, and I was able to get my market steer process with the help from Indian Agriculture Council and their Food for Families program. I was able to give them meat, produce from my market steer to families in need and elderly folks as well.
And so, Dally, that's a lot of work. Congratulations and kudos to everything that you just mentioned. And I can only imagine how many people you've inspired to maybe look into this or follow their own interests through all of this. And Dally, for you doing some of these things, how has it enriched your life, or has it given you a new view on possibilities in life? Anything you want to share?
I think the biggest and most important thing I've taken away from the whole COVID stuff in the ag industry, it's being resilient and learning to give back. COVID has had a huge impact on my perspective of how essential the ag industry is and how reliant we are on farmers and producers. Although the buckles and banners have brought success, the real win is being able to walk through the barn and know that kids are watching and looking up to me. I'm glad to be the senior 8-year-old me watched and looked up to. I have learned that somewhere in the barn there is a young kid that wants to be like me someday, so I owe it to them to be the best I can be. I, as a senior showman, have made it a goal to teach and invest in the younger generation of showmen with several camps I put on, as well as private one-to-one lessons. Through the lessons with the kids, I have found a passion for working with youth in ag, and I look forward to seeking a degree in ag education. But like you said, I think the biggest thing is I've learned, you know, growing up and maturing into being a mentor and a leader, is being a senior in the program allows me to be a great example to my fellow Native American youth in ag, to take advantage of opportunities within the ag industry. Being an advocate for Native youth in ag has something I take great pride in being a part of. Growing up in a small Native community in Tehachapi, New Mexico, which is about 30 miles north of Gallup, there's not a whole lot to do. It's basically, go to school, and then after school, go to sports and head home. It's just about every high school student's daily schedule. But the few lucky kids that get involved in rodeos are with the livestock projects are the main ones to find outlet to keep them busy and out of trouble. Native American youth have the highest high school and college dropout rates. Getting these kids involved with different activities would provide them with a wider variety of career outlets. Like Christy said, you know, she mentioned it doesn't have to be livestock. It can be anything from like culinary. The 4-H program offers baking, and so just the 4-H project and the program just gives a kid something to look forward to and grow into as they mature. But the Native American youth as well have the highest high school dropout rate and suicidal rate. Those are rates and statistics I would love to see change in my community. And I firmly believe with the help of the Tribal 4-H program and the assistance from tribal agents like Christy, I can have a positive impact on my peers within my community. Native Americans have been known for generation after generation for farming and ranching. It's within our culture, like mentioned before. But with time, the younger generations have drifted from their culture and tradition. I know that getting youth involved with the 4-H program would be a great step in the right direction to steer them back into the traditional ways and cultural values. With all the opportunities the ag industry has given me, I realize it's time to give back. I've seen the everyday struggles my community faces, and I want to make change. And I think that's the biggest platform that...
Sure. And Dally, it sounds like given this role, you're doing a great job with it. And Dally, are you following in the footsteps of family members who also done this, or are you breaking ground? Maybe the first one waking up a lot of this information.
So it's the whole ag industry has been deeply rooted within my family through 4 generations. And it's been a lot of footsteps to fill in, but my oldest, I have three older sisters, and they have all found careers within working with people and within the ag industry. And, you know, I've kind of watched them and I've looked up to them, and they've grown up within the 4-H program too. But I think I took it, I had more opportunity to take things to the next level as far as, you know, competing and traveling the world. And meeting new people, that's another thing that I'm really grateful the 4-H program has given me. You know, it's taught me how to network and, you know, break out of my shell and not be shy and talk to people and ask them for advice and learn. Just be like we always say it's best to be like a sponge when you meet new people and you go to new places. You know, just soak all the information you can and meet all the people you can. But my 2 older sisters, they have gone into the extension field, and that's the one wake up call that kind of gave me is, you know, I've been able to job shadow them for days during the summer and during spring break and watch what they do with the elderly and with the youth. And that's where I kind of my passion started for working with the people and working with especially Native American in the ag industry.
Well, I think that's really inspiring, and I'm recalling a program that we did some time ago, just trying to get people involved, get youth interested in doing this kind of work, and it seems like that is part of the mission of 4-H, to wake some of that up. If there's anything you'd like to share with this young leader that we have on the line today, Dally Carlisle, we sure hope you'll dial in. You can do that by calling right now, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and go to the phone lines. On the line, we have Cheyenne in Las Cruces, New Mexico, tuned in online. Cheyenne, thanks for giving us a ring. You're on air.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me in. And Dally is actually my little brother. And I came in to chime in on everything. And I'm actually at the State 4-H Conference today, this year. It was a hybrid base. And we had usually it's a week-long conference in Las Cruces that we have for our senior 4-Hers. And that ages from 14 to 19, where they age out. And this week is based on state contest. They have we have a county contest, and from there they qualify for a state contest that we hold during state conference. And it's really a good time for the kiddos. And we have workshops, leadership workshops for them. And this year, you know, COVID, and we were very unsure of kind of how everything was going to go. So we had to do a hybrid, so we won't reach our maximum number of participants. So it's been really great to be able to have this, and I'm glad that we were able to have it this year. And, you know, like I said, Dally is my little brother, and 4-H is the biggest organization in the United States for youth to get into. And it's our whole mission in 4-H is to engage our youth to reach their fullest potential while advancing the field of youth development. And I think it's very great that Dally, you know, he's a 4-H'er. He's going to be a veteran after this year. He's aged out. And we're going to have hopefully another extension agent here in a couple more years. And I did grow up in 4-H. And 4-H has given me endless opportunities with my career. I was able to, you know, like you said, network when I was in high school. And when I came to college, I had scholarships waiting for me through 4-H. And a job waiting for me to get me through college. And even after college, I have my grad school paid for and a job waiting for me as well. So 4-H really does bring a lot of people into your life, whether it's in your career or lifelong friendships. All of the friends I have right now all did 4-H with me. I met through 4-H camp, which I'm very thankful for 4-H, and I'll eternally be grateful for it. And with livestock, you know, we like raise livestock, and through that I learned to be humble at fairs. You know, some years you lose, some years you win, and really how to share those wins with those around you, because it takes a village to raise a steer and to raise any animal in general. You got your parent, you're a kid, you're 9 years old and you have a lamb. You don't have a job to pay for that lamb or to pay for the feed, and your parents do provide you with a lot. And so that's where 4-H really and livestock really has a big role. It have had a big role in my life, is that teaching me, you know, financial, like bookkeeping and all that at a very young age, and how to be outspoken, be able to get out of my little nut, my little shell, and to go out and venture and to meet new people and to talk and, you know, not to rely on my parents to meet new people. You know, you meet some kids and they're very shy, and for you meet a 4-H kid and they're over there talking to everybody, being social and helping out in every way that they possibly can help out with.
Wow. Well, Cheyenne, sounds like you are going to be doing a lot of great work for our communities too. And I really enjoy hearing all this inspiration that folks are getting from this program. Sometimes we look into this and see the kind of opportunities, but to hear from two youth who have gone through it and hearing what it's brought to their life, it's pretty exciting. Thank you for giving us a ring, Cheyenne. And it sounds like you're also a good mentor to your brother as well. And again, if you want to join us, give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. We now go to Melvin, who is in Santee, Nebraska, tuned in on KZYK. Melvin, thanks for giving us a ring. Go ahead. You're on air.
Well, I'd like to say those two young people are very impressive. I'm sure glad they're there. You know, they give us all hope that these young people will continue these type of projects. We've been trying to get a agriculture project here at Santee. We lost our last real farmer about 7 years ago. He's a councilman, and he farmed. Right now, we don't have any real Indian farmers here, and we need farmers. You know, we're so food dependent. All our food is trucked in. We need to start being able to grow our own foods. And that 4-H could sure help with, you know, where young people can learn how to jar, try, can foods for storage. I think that's important. I know 4-H is involved in that.
It certainly is. Mm-hmm. Melvin, thanks for giving us a ring. And let's squeeze one more in. We have Alexandra in Farmington, New Mexico, tuned in on KSUT. Alexandra, thank you for giving us a ring. You're on air.
Good morning. My name is Alexandra Carlisle, and I actually work with Christy Kinslachini through a program called the FERTEP Agents, which is federally recognized tribal extension program. And I encourage Melvin to reach out to his state office and see if we do have a FERTEP agent in your area. Our job is essentially to be on tribal nations to encourage natural resource youth development and agriculture. And that's essentially what me and Christy both do here on Navajo Nation. There are 38 programs throughout the nation that have FERTEP agents, and we work with land-grant universities to carry out the work of agriculture and natural resources. But I grew up in the Navajo Nation 4-H program, and from my time in the program versus now, I am seeing a lot more tribal and cultural teachings being implemented. When I was a part of the program, it was just more livestock, and you get to the show, you do your business, and then you're on your way. But being able to be a part of this program and seeing it transition with the work with Christy, and being able to incorporate traditional teachings and culture, you know, teaching the kids during the horse project while they're running barrels or doing trail courses. We're also bringing in brought in people that teach them traditional horse songs and teach them the importance of the horse, what each part of the horse represents in likelihood to our culture. You know, the sounds of the hoofbeats represent the thunder, and the mane, you know, represents the different types of rain that we receive. And you know, these are the things that we're starting to see more transition. We're also encouraging a lot more from seed to garden, planting native seeds, and we're trying to increase our traditional food process and getting more of the kids to grow these things so that we don't lose that. And that is something that is huge for us culturally, and as well as the language. You know, the Navajo language has been such a pinnacle to our survival, as well as, you know, going back to World War II, the importance of the code talkers that played in the success of America coming out of the war. And so now our language is starting to dwindle. We're losing our elders. And, you know, when you get hit with a worldwide pandemic like COVID, we're losing our elders who teach not only the cultural sense of things, the traditional sense of things, but also our language. And so with that loss, we're trying to incorporate more of our language into our projects. We're teaching kids, you know, how to say horse, how to have small conversations. It is a very difficult language. So, of course, we're breaking that barrier and trying to incorporate a lot of these things. And we also
and
have
doing some of that definitely goes a very long way. And being able to put this type of knowledge into something that has been around for a while. Well, I guess our knowledge has been around for longer than this program, but still putting them together. And what does that do for the community? I'd like you to answer that question. Go ahead and dial us in. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Phone lines are open.
This reminder to get your COVID-19 vaccination provided by the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health, which supports this show. Available for everyone 12 and up, COVID-19 vaccinations are a safe, effective tool for stopping the spread of COVID-19 and are protective against the new Delta variant. Over a million Native Americans have received their vaccine. You can help stop this virus and stay up to date by following the Johns Hopkins Center for American Indian Health at facebook.com/JHUCAIH.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are focusing on how the 4-H Club works with Native youth. And there is still time to join our conversation. We are at 1-800-996-2848 is the number, and we look forward to your calls. And you know what? We heard from Alexandria before the break. Now we're going to go to David in northern Wisconsin, tuned in on WOJB. David, thanks for giving us a ring. Go ahead. You're on air.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm a former 4-H'er, and I've been a 4-H leader now for 30 years, and all of my three kids were in 4-H from the time they were 9 years old till they graduated from high school, and participated in, among things, poultry, where they raised chickens and ducks and geese and so on. But what I wanted to say was, particularly with my youngest daughter, she used her experience as a poultry in showmanship, learning public speaking skills. And when she applied for her college entrances, she had to write an essay. And she wrote it about what I learned from chickens. And as a result, partially of that, it landed her an $80,000 scholarship to school and led her to her current career as a veterinarian. So I think it was instrumental in my growing up years, formative years, and it's been a great asset to all of my kids, and particularly my youngest. But I just wanted to point out some of the peripheral aspects of being in 4-H and learning from lots of people and gaining confidence and having the ability to go out there and kind of promote yourself. So that was what I wanted to talk about.
Well, David, congratulations to your youth and to you as well for also sticking with this and encouraging others to get involved. And David, I got to know, what is the secret to life learned from chickens? Anything to share?
Well, you know, I guess what she said is that, you know, when you go out there and you're working with that doesn't understand you, you have to really learn to find out what is it that they need. I mean, as far as their bedding, as far as their feed, as far as getting them to prosper, selecting the varieties that would show well at the fair, and all of the things that you need to do to prepare for being successful at it. I think she applied it in her college education and told them, you know, that was a big part in getting her prepared to go on to higher education. And today she's a veterinarian and does surgeries and all the stuff veterinarians do. And so I think that's what she kind of learned from her time with raising chickens.
You can learn a lot, especially trying to get them all to one place. Yeah, try that. That comes with a lot of skill. Thank you for your call. Best of luck to your daughter as well and skills she picked up in 4-H. Maybe your youth picked up some skills they're using in a different way. You want to share some thoughts with us? Go ahead and give us a ring. 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's take a look at 4-H in Alaska. To do that, we are calling in Deanna Beyer, who joins us today out of Dillingham, Alaska. She is a tribal educator with Bristol Bay's 4-H Club with the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and she is Chugyong. Our pleasure to have her here with us. Deanna, welcome to Native America Calling.
Thank you very much. I appreciate this opportunity. And yeah, I just wanted to let people know that this program is also related to FERTEP, and I am a FERTEP agent and recipient of their support. So the Bristol Bay 4-H program started about 8 years ago, and just like Christy, I had no experience with 4-H, and so we were able to shape the program into what it is through the needs of the community. And currently, we have several different clubs and opportunities. We've got Lego Club and STEM. We have Culinary Club. We have Gardening. We have Trapping, Yupik Dance, Ballet, and Culture Camp, as well as Culture Club. The camp is in the summer, and the club is throughout the school year. And we provide a lot of different cultural opportunities for kids in Culture Camp. We don't have cows and plows here in rural Alaska. The area that Bristol Bay covers is about the area of the state of Ohio, and we don't have any roads connecting the community, so we develop our clubs according to the needs of each community and the interests of the kids. Salmon are a great part of our lifestyle here in rural Alaska. And so part of the cultural activities are our salmon studies, where we study the salmon lifestyle, dissect salmon, we cook with salmon. Another aspect is gathering plants and berries. So some of our activities include gathering berries and making meals out of berries. We gather tundra tea and create that for our kids and our families. We identify local medicinal plants and make them into healing lotions and muscle rubs. We study the wildlife, in particular birds, owl pellets. We create bird feeders. We have language games where we are teaching the Yupik language. We have interviewing games where kids can interview elders and gather information, resources, and storytelling ability. In identifying these, we are also strengthening and building relationships between the generations. Interviewing elders helps the youth gain a whole new respect for our elder generation, and it also creates a connection between the elder and the youth.
And that is something, that kind of bond is really important. And Deanna, when you see the young people get involved with this and you know, they have something that connects them to culture in this way, what kind of changes do you see from the beginning of when they jump into this program to the end?
Well, different changes in different ways. For instance, when we first started interviewing elders, I would approach the elder and ask if we could interview them. And the elder would usually decline and say, well, you know, I'm not important enough. Why don't you interview somebody else? And eventually I'd get them to agree to the interview. And then once the interview started and got underway, the elder realized how valuable their stories are and would often invite us back for future interviews. This went both ways because the youth were shy and they didn't know how to interview. So we went through the interview skills training. And once they started interviewing elders, they really started to pay attention. And then I would see them connecting in the community. At first, the youth would, you know, walk around the community with their heads down and not making any eye contact. Well, toward the end of the interview sessions, I noticed the youth were looking around and looking for people, making eye contact. I noticed that elders and youth were meeting at the post office and at the stores, and they were conversing and you know, rebuilding and connecting on their own. There's also we do the plants and lotions every year at Culture Camp. And some of the kids have been involved in this for 5 or 6 years. So they're a little older. Sometimes they kind of complain, oh, this again, gee whiz, I did this last year. But I noticed that those older kids started taking aside groups of younger kids or less familiar kids, and they were becoming the leaders. They would take these small groups out into the tundra, and they would identify the medicinal plants to them, and they would be the leaders in making the lotions.
And so right there, that kind of bonding, that's community. And seeing how this also builds some of that, again, can't stop using this word, is inspiring. And thinking about culture being a part of this, it's a big one too. And I'm curious, Deanna, too, because dance, you mentioned that is also something that's a part of this. And anything you want to say specifically about how this is being passed on through the 4-H connection?
Well, that connection is so valuable. You know, it's not only are we passing on information from the elders to the youth, but also from the middle generations who are identifying the needs. They're identifying the plants. They're teaching the Yupik dance. They're teaching the modes of trapping. And how to skin an animal and what to do with them after that, the stretching and whatnot. Those relationships are being maintained and passed on throughout the communities and throughout the generations. I also wanted to mention that with COVID, we kind of sent this into a tailspin because we were not able to meet as groups and share this information and pass it on. So we partner with a lot of different agencies here in Bristol Bay. We partner with the Health Corporation, Bristol Bay Native Association, University of Alaska, Campus Fairbanks, the Tribes, Bristol Bay Native Corporation, AmeriCorps, and we partnered with Bristol Bay Native Corporation to package up and provide culture kits to all of the school kids in Bristol Bay. So there are 4 different school districts plus homeschool kids. Over 1,500 kits were sent out, and these kits included the language games, the interviewing elders. They included the salmon studies, beading. So in a way, COVID really helped us to do a lot of outreach and provide our materials and education to so many more youth than we ever did before.
And so, Deanna, thinking about how this community has grown, I'm sure you'd like to see it grow even more. If there are people who are listening who are curious about this or want to get involved, where can they reach you or start joining the program?
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. I forgot to mention that since we didn't start packaging up kits and sending them out, then we're able to send them out of region to the lower 48, all over Alaska. We partner with Brisco Bay Native Association and the ICWA program, and we provide our kits to foster kids who are, who are from our region or even who are not from our region, who are just interested in our culture. We can send these kits to them so that they can learn and they can be a part of our community as well. And, so they can contact me. People can contact me if they're interested in these kits. My phone number is 907-842-4508. And, we can supply kits as needed. There might be a small postage fee, but please, if anybody would like more information on our program and how we provide it, again, my number is 907-842-4508.
Well, thank you for that. And Deanna, congratulations on all this great work that's going on. Maybe you connected with Deanna's program. You want to tell us about it. You can always send us an email, comments@nativeamericacalling.com. is one way, or you can find us on Facebook, and our Twitter handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I do want to bring back our guest out of Window Rock, Arizona, Christy Kinlashini. She is here with us, too. And Christy, definitely wanted to give you a moment, too, if you wanted to share contacts in case people wanted to reach out and get involved.
Yeah, so it's great to hear all of the 4-H programs that are going on, even all the way up in Alaska. So it just shows how versatile the program is, and you can basically make it anything that you want it to be. It doesn't have to necessarily involve animals, and we're trying really hard to keep the cultural relevance within the program. We even got some of our 4-H mottos translated to the Navajo language, some of our biosecurity posters translated, and those are up on our extension website that's linked on the Native Calling website if people would like to view that. But the 4-H program can be reached at Alex Carlisle is the point person for the 4-H program, and she can be reached at 505-330-1443. And she can go ahead and give details. We do have our first in-person sale coming up in September for our kids here on Navajo to show and sell some of their livestock that they've been working on all year. But if anybody's interested, we do have a Facebook page. It's Navajo Nation 4-H Program. Leave a comment, like our page. That's where we post a lot of our upcoming information, our upcoming workshops and things like that as we kind of get back to some normalcy post-COVID. And any other opportunities will be on that website. And also our extension website at University of Arizona Cooperative Extension, Window Rock. And again, Alex's number is 505-330-1443.
Well, thank you for that, and thank you to everybody that we heard from today, including our callers and our guests, Christy Kinlachini and Deanna Beyer, as well as Dally Carlisle. That's going to do it for today's program. We sure hope you'll join us again tomorrow as we talk about the legacy of the Institute of American Indian Arts and the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts. I'm Tara Gatewood. We'll meet you here tomorrow, right here on these Native airwaves. More information about our program can also be found at nativeamericacalling.com, and you can see the rest of the lineup for the week there too. We'll meet you here tomorrow.
Looking to get your high school diploma? Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute offers Native Americans ages 18 or older training and preparation courses for the high school equivalency diplomas, in person and online, beginning September 6th. This no-charge program includes testing fees and other resources will be available to help with supplies and living expenses. Space is limited. Application deadline is August 6th. More by calling 505-382-4287 or at sipi.edu, who support this show.
Keshay, this too si proper gear the healthcare coverage I could on Yamtina was the Nikos Nagret on Twelke Yayela na Ayubachi Ate Adu. It's the insurekidsnow.gov can I want an etatapt on this 1-877-KIDS-NOW on Ben and Akin up to. Look here, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services don't now on Ben and Nitulo Kenawe. Ella, qua.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.